العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
In Islam, brothers, try lowering your heads, listening to the bayan attentively, carefully. And alhamdulillah, a beautiful nasiha that we have from Amir Ahl Sunnah is before we start doing anything good, we make good intentions. So inshallah, let's go through a few good intentions. And inshallah, we can gain the blessings of this bayan. Those brothers who have mobile phones, make the intention to either switch them off or to put them on silent, so that if it does ring, we are not guide other people's concentration. Inshallah, so they'll try to listen to the bayan with your heads lowered, sitting in the attahiyat position as long as possible. Whenever we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will recite Durood-e-Paak. Whenever we hear the name of Allah azza wa jal, we will say azza wa jal or jalla jalaluhu. And the most important intention, that whatever we learn in this ijtima, we will pass on to others as well. Acting upon this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Pass on from me whatever you know, even though if it's a small ayat. Hadith Islam brothers, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, every Thursday when we come to the ijtima, the muballighs, alhamdulillah, mention a beautiful hadith or a quotation regarding reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which Amir Ahl Sunnah has quoted in one of his booklets. Beautify your gatherings by reciting durood upon me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Once a man, he came to a very noble and pious man to complain about his wife. As he reached to the pious person's house, he heard that the pious man was also in the same problem. And thought to himself, I've come to have my problem solved, but it looks like he has the same problem as me. As he was about to return home, the pious man noticed him and asked the reason for coming. He told him everything and that he heard the similar problem in his house. The pious man replied, she has some rights over me, therefore I keep patient. What are them rights? Number one, she is a barrier between me and the fire of hell, and hence I keep away from haram things. Number two, when I'm not at home, she takes care and protects my belongings and looks after my house. And number three, in my absence, she looks after my children and washes my clothes and makes food for me. The man then said, Ya Sayyidi, this is exactly what my wife does as well. But I complain. you. From now on, I will have patience regarding my wife. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. And yes, my brothers, just focus on this small story we've heard. You know, how many homes are there? How many homes can you think of where there is no quarrel or arguments between a husband and wife? Which home? And what is a house? A house is where we can go and we can have some rest. A house is where all day we work and we want to go home and we want to see our children, and when we go home we want to see our wife and children smile at us. We want to go home, we're shattered. We want to go home and we want our wife to make us a cup of tea or to make some food. That's what we want. But we've heard a lot about the rights of husbands. Today, I've brought a few Madini flowers with me and we're going to learn about the rights of the wife. And this is according to one of the bayans that Nigrani Shura did. Shohar ko kaisa hona? How should a husband be? So many things that we can learn. Like I said, the house is a house of rest for us. A place where we turn after we work, after we've been everywhere. The house is where we turn back. Now, we might be thinking to ourselves that some of the people, they complain. Well, we are the ones who are working all day. We are the ones who are grafting all day. And there, our wives, the women at home, don't do anything. Now, if you really ask the woman what her daily routine is, then she will tell you that her daily routine will be that she wakes up in the morning before you. And she makes breakfast for the children, she makes breakfast for you. You eat that breakfast, you go to work, she has to clean the house, and then she has to make tea for them, and then she has to prepare them to go to the madrasa. She will go and drop them up at the madrasa, she will come back home, and then go and pick them up again. And if you ask the wife, she will tell you that she is busy more than you. Why? Because she's got a big house, she's got a husband, and she's got the children to take care of. We've only got a job to take care of. We wake up in the morning, we go to work, all day long we'll be working, but when we come back home, what do we expect? Sometimes we expect too much. My dear Islam brothers, let's just focus on this. And some of the Madani flowers that I've brought with me is, first of all, how we choose a wife for ourselves. You want a wife that can help you. She will help your family. She will help your parents. She will help your relatives. So how do you choose a wife? There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the mafhum is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Do not marry only for the beauty. Maybe the beauty becomes the cause of moral decline." And do not marry even for the sake of wealth. Maybe the wealth becomes the reason of disobedience. Marry rather on the grounds of religious devotion and piety. Now this is what Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, piety, taqwa, is one of the most important things, one of the most important characteristics in a Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says inside the Holy Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتَقَاكُمْ, that no doubt, the ones who are pious are the ones who are close to Allah. Nek biwi chahiye. We want a pious wife. We want a wife that can take care of us and that she is a good religious woman as well. Now, today, my dear Islam brothers, we see that today a lot of youngsters, we live in the community, we know what is happening. We see youngsters going to college, universities, and then they want to marry that girl. Why do you want to marry her? Because she's beautiful. Nothing else, because she's beautiful. And then what we'll do is that if our parents will not accept our marriage, we'll run away. We'll run away, we'll get married somewhere, and maybe, Alisa can marry her. But is that the true way? Is that the way that Islam has taught us? Is that the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us? No, that is not the way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us many, many beautiful things. And one of them things is that you do not act upon this what I've mentioned before. What is the beautiful thing? That you go, you talk to your parents, and then your parents will go and talk to the girl's parents. No, we're scared. well, my parents, okay, I can convince my own parents, but what about the girl's parents? I'll never be able to convince them. So therefore, because we can't convince them, we're going to go the other way. That is not Islam. And forced marriages, another thing. This is another totally different topic, forced marriages. And we see in our community how many marriages have taken place, and then on the other hand, what comes on headlines is Islam is being taunted. Because of the action of a Muslim who doesn't have that education in Islam, it is Islam that is always being targeted. Why? It's because one thing, my dear Islam brothers, we do not have that basic education in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says inside the Holy Quran about this sacred relationship, a very, very sacred relationship. Imagine husband and wife relationship is the relationship that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam had with Sayyidina Hawa radhiyallahu anha. And this is the same sacred relationship that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had with Sayyidina Khadija radhiyallahu anha. And Allah Azza wa Jal inside the Holy Quran, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, translation from Qalb to Iman, and one of His signs is that He created you couples from amongst yourself that you might find enjoyment in them. And He placed love and mercy between you. So that is the relationship. Even Allah Ta'ala, He says, these are my signs. This is a sign of Allah. A good relationship is a sign of Allah. A good husband and wife relationship is what Islam wants. And in another place, He says, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, He comments on these words of the Holy Quran. And Mufti Sahib, He writes in Nur Birfan to the word Azwajan Litaskunu Ilayha. Mufti Sahib, He writes that this tells us that the duty of a man is to earn sustenance, and that of the woman is to provide comfort for the man. For women to earn sustenance and for men to run the house is against the law of nature. So what is the duty of a husband? The duty of a husband is to look after his wife, to look after all the needs of the wife, financially, physically, clothing her, everything. It is the duty of the husband. In another place, in the next words, وَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, Mufti Sahib writes, in accordance with nature, love has been placed between husband and wife, though prior to marriage, they may be strangers to one another. In fact, due to marriage, two families and sometimes two countries come together. Therefore, this union is called nikah. Nikah, the word nikah means an act which unites a person. And if you look at it, my dear scholars, sometimes when we fall out with our wives or when we have arguments with our wives, think to yourself, this is not two people. This is not man and woman. This could be two families that are going to break off. This could be two countries that could break war against one another. And it's proven from past as well. All the little arguments are home. And we see today, what is the society? Divorce rate amongst the Muslims is on the increase. It's on the increase. We used to think about divorce rates amongst non-Muslims, but sadly, divorce rates in the Muslim community is going up every single year. Why? It's because the husband doesn't know what he needs to give rights to the woman, and the woman doesn't know what are the rights of the husband. Allah Azawajal, in many, many places in the Quran, He mentions these. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mention that as well. And the Quran even goes to an extent that Allah Azawajal, He says, who is the woman? Who is your wife? Sometimes you think, oh, my wife, she's nothing, you know, and all that. What is the wife? What is the true status of the wife? Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ, that they are the garment for you, and you are the garment for them. That is your wife, that is your status. That she is your garment, and you are her garment. Meaning, whatever she has secrets, she shares that secrets with you only. And whatever secrets you have, you will share them secrets with your wife. That's why it's called a sacred relationship. And in one of the hadiths, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, and someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is the best wedge for us? Hamare liye sabse acha maal kaun sa hai? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied that the best wedge is a tongue which is wet with the remembrance of Allah. In a tongue which always does the remembrance of Allah, and a health which is thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, and a believing and pious wife who helps her husband to keep to the practice of his faith. That is the best wealth for you. What is the best wealth? Your tongue is the best wealth for you. Sometimes immediately when you start thinking about wealth, it means money. It doesn't mean money. Money is not even mentioned in this hadith. What is mentioned is that tongue. What is mentioned is health. And what is mentioned is a pious wife. Now, my dear Islam brothers, a pious wife, Allah Azza wa Jal has laid down some rules for men and laid down some rules for women. In the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that the men are in charge over women. This is the rule of Islam. This is the law of Allah, that men are rulers, are in charge of women. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Now, women cannot say that women have equal rights in Islam. There is equal rights. But what are rights? There were no rights before Islam. What rights did a woman have? The woman, the right she had, was she was a slave in their own house. The wife, when her husband died before Islam at the time of Jahiliyyah, if the husband died, she would be blamed for that. She would be locked up in a room and she would stay there until she died, because people blamed her for the death of the husband. That is the rights that Jahiliyyah gave to this woman. But when Islam came, when the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ came, this same woman was elevated. And the Prophet ﷺ, a man, he came up to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has more rights over me? As a son, who has more rights? And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, your mother. Again he said, after her your mother, after her your mother, after her your father. So the mother was given three times more rights than the father. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, kiss your mother's feet, it is as if you have kissed the doorstep of paradise. Wow. That is the status that Islam gave to a woman. Even when we look in the Western countries, Islam, women could not even vote. Women did not have their share in the inheritance. They didn't have that. Islam, when Islam came nearly 1400 years ago, women were given all them rights. But my dear Islam brothers, today I just want to focus on something. For example, this bayan is for the husbands. Those who are married is for you, is for me. And those Islamic brothers listening on Madini channel is for us as well. And for all of us. So that we know what our rights are, and we know what rights we need to give to our wives at home as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, men are in charge over women. And Mufti Ahmad Yaad Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he comments in his tafsir Nurul Irfan, and he says that a man is in charge because it is his duty to take care of the woman's financial need and any materialistic needs, and also he pays her dowry. A woman is not responsible for any material or financial obligations of man. A woman, it's not obligatory upon her, it's not fuzz upon her, that she has to go outside, work, and she has to feed the family. That's not for the woman. It's for the father, it's for the husband. It is his duty that he must go. And he is the breadwinner. He must go and work and then feed his family. In the next verse, he says, because Allah has excelled one over the other. The tafsir Mufti Sahib says, that prophethood, why is the man in charge of the woman? Why is the man superior to a woman? Now, superior doesn't mean in level. Like I said, who is superior? The one who is pious. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That is what superiority is really about. But when we hear about superior or in charge, why men are given that charge, Mufti Sahabi says that the prophethood, imamah, being a judge, a qazi, the azan, the khutbah, all of them are only for men. Farda is important upon a woman, and these duties cannot be acted upon by being in farda. Also, some feminine obstacles also become a hindrance in the form of these duties. That is why a man is in charge of a woman, because a woman must stay in farda. And because when someone is in farda, in bed, you cannot fulfill all these duties. Therefore, these duties are being given to a man. Further on, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, and because men have expended their wealth over them, so the virtuous women are devotedly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah Ta'ala has commanded. So these are the reasons why a man is superior or is in charge of women, because of all them things mentioned. And this ayah, it mentions that because man, he spends his wealth on the women. You have to pay mahar. Before a woman becomes halal on a man, he has to pay mahar. So the man, he pays the woman. Therefore, the man has superiority. And in the Quran, there is a verse in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O believers, save yourself and your family from the fire of hell. Now this command is for the believing men, not for the women. For the men, that they must save themselves and their family. But what happens today, Piyari Sahib? Today, from this verse, you know, we can see a few issues. Number one, there are a few Madani flowers that we can learn. Number one, it is important upon the man to give financial support to the woman. A woman, she needs that financial support. You're working all day, she's looking after the house, and then when it comes to money, here, 50, 60 quid, live on that. You know, if you think to yourself, can anyone survive on 50, 60 pounds? And then you expect her to do all them things, and you give her 50 pounds. You give her 60 pounds. These are the complaints that are coming through today. These are the reasons why we have arguments at home. These are the reasons why we do not have a house that has sukoon inside. Why? Because we're always quarreling. And one of the most, the factor which contributes to women and men having arguments, husband and wife having arguments at home, is financial things. A man, he doesn't provide that same financial support to the wife. And it is the duty of the man. Why does she have to go on? Sometimes, the women, the Islamic sisters, they've even written, some Islamic sisters, she mentioned just a few weeks ago, one of the Islamic sisters, she wrote a letter and she goes, that I'm doing all the things at home, I'm taking care of the house, I'm taking care of all the bills or whatever of that is at home, I am taking care of all of them, my husband only gives me 50 pounds, I can't even pay the bills for 50 pounds. And she says, whenever I ask her, there's fights. Why? Why are you asking for more money? What do you do with that money? And then stay away in our mind. You're not doing anything. Why are you spending that money? You expect to come back home. You expect something to be cooked at home. Well, you've got to give something for her to get something and then cook for you. But we don't have that in our mind. I'm chatting, ghar mein jaye, har cheez humare samne maujood ho. Ye bhi ho, wo bhi ho. Ye dish bana le, wo dish bana le. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, I've got relatives coming. I've got friends coming with me. So therefore, cook so and so. What have you given her that she's going to cook something? And then what happens? Fights. And today, my dear Islam brothers, that is one of the biggest problems we have today. Men not giving money to women. And then, what about ourselves? What about ourselves? All Islamic brothers, you know, for example, we might go with a friend, we'll go to a restaurant, we'll go to a takeaway, we'll buy food, oh, so it's on me, don't worry about it, you don't have to pay. You're paying for your friend, you're paying for your friends, you're going to the restaurant, you're spending 60, 70, 80 pounds, you're taking them to a takeaway, you're spending 10, 15 pounds, and then when you come to the house feeding the children and the family, I've got nothing. Where shall I get the money from? I only earn 100 pounds. How can you spend money on your friends, but when it comes to the family, you're not even spending a penny? So that is the problem then. And then sometimes for that, what happens is that poor woman, she has to go and find work. For who? For to support you as well. And for them husbands who have a habit, there's a lot about, have a habit to sit at home and not even work. They're on the door. The wife's working. It's alright, my wife's working. Where are you? Oh, I'm chilling out with friends. I'm going to so-and-so. I've grown, mulk pe jaane, sahar ke liye jaane, phone jala sahar pe jaane. And what's happening? My wife's working. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Your wife is working whilst you are chilling out with your friends, sat at home, watching the telly all day long, one smoke after the other, and then what's the problem? We've got money coming in, my wife, she's got a good job. Now remember what Allah Ta'ala, He said, O Mufti Sahib, He says, this is not the law of nature, that a woman goes out. If there's a problem, according to the Sharia gives ijazah, then that's something else. But what is the reason why? Here, I want to mention something for the Islamic sisters as well who are listening on Madani channel. You know, we've got this mind today that I must be more and better financially than my husband. Why? Someone has put this thought in our minds, what if he divorces me? Then what am I going to do?
حول ولا قوة. Why are you not thinking about that?
What if he divorces me? And then today, those Islamic sisters who are working, who got cars, who got houses, and who are treating their husband like dirt, we should learn a lesson from that as well. So this is what the problem is, my dear Islam brothers. In the next part of the verse, he says that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says inside the Holy Quran, that unto those women whose disobedience you fear, then admonish them and sleep separately from them. This verse of the Holy Quran, Mufti Sahib, he does the tafsir, and in tafsir Nurul Irfan, he says, by this it is meant inform them of their mistake and the pain she has caused the husband, and the consequences of this in the world and the hereafter. So if your wife does something wrong, you don't like that, you must first of all tell her, look, this is what you've done and I don't like that. Immediately you don't start shouting at her, and then sometimes when you get out of control, what happens? We're battering her. So many cases have come forward. And then the day, like I said, it's not you who's being tainted, it's our beautiful religion, Islam, is being tainted. This is what Muslims do. This is what Muslims are like. You know, I even saw an article in one of the local newspapers, exactly the same thing happened, that a woman, she got beaten by her husband. You know, and the newspaper article in there, even the local people, they were giving this a lot of coverage. What was in the headlines? Muslim wife beaters. And so in the day, my dear Islam brothers, we are changing our own religion. Now, the husband, his duty is to inform the wife. If she's done something wrong, she's overspent, she's done something wrong, you tell her. This is what the Quran says. This is what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that this is what you should do. Further on, Mufti Sahib in the tafsir, he says, and by sleeping separately, it means do not share the same room as them. Do not discuss anything with them. Boycott them completely, as there is no better remedy for this for a woman. When you boycott her, you don't talk to her. Why? It's not because she hasn't cooked the food properly. It's not because you're not talking. Why you're not talking to her? Because she hasn't done this for me. Why she hasn't? She doesn't make breakfast for me. And there's so many. There was a story the other day. A husband gave talaq to his wife because she wouldn't make breakfast in the morning. Now, it's not I don't think that was the reason that I read from the Quran. This is not one of the reasons that she doesn't make breakfast for you and you give talaq to her. And like I said, this talaq is like a child's game now. Every second, third day, and one of the Mufti Sahib says, since he's been in the UK, the biggest fatwas or the majority of the time that I spent is just on people phoning up and asking about talaq and people having arguments and quarrels at home. And then, my dear Islamic brothers, like I said before, it's the duty of the husband to go out and to go and work. The husband should not sit at home and the women go outside the house and work. It shouldn't be like that. In the next verse of the Holy Quran, and this verse, a lot of people highlight this verse. When Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. So you've been through all that state. Your wife, she doesn't listen to you. You boycotted her. You haven't talked to her. But she still. Now what is the reason? The reason, the ulama, they say that she doesn't read her namaz. You've boycotted her. You've told her to read namaz. You've told her to act upon the sunnah. You've told her to act according to Islam. But she doesn't. Then you leave her alone. You boycott her. And then the next word, a lot of people, they take this out of proportion. The Quran says, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. And beat them. Now, what happens? There was a story that was highlighted that a woman, she was set upon, that the husband and the whole family, they threw acid on her, they put fire on her, and they let her to burn, and she died in that state. Why? Because again, family feuds. Because the husband, he will know, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. The Quran says, beat her. My dear Islam brothers, this is not what the Quran says. This is not what the Islam says. This is not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. And today so many things happen. You go home, she hasn't cooked the food, you get angry, and then one tar on the face. You know, you're not even supposed to slap an animal on the face. Never mind slapping your wife. And then people hit them in front of their own children. Imagine what that child will think. Well, imagine what that child will think. And you know what's going to go through his mind? This is what's going to go through his mind. That this is what my father does to my mother. When I grow up, I'm going to be one step ahead of him. And this is happening. You know, because I teach in the madrasa,
I have children. And seriously, when you look at these children, they don't talk. They're always scared. And once we had a Madani Mashwara. And these children, we targeted them as vulnerable. And we thought, what is the problem? What is the problem that all these other children, they're so happy, they learn their sabbath, but these three, four children in different classes, what is the problem? Why are they not learning? And immediately same thing comes to our mind, they're not learning because they don't want to learn. No, there's a reason there. And the reason behind it was that, seriously, I'm standing in the masjid, my dear Islam brothers, the reason was that all four of them children who were messing about in the class, who were not learning their sabbath, were all from families that mother and father have been separated. They've been through that psychologically, they've been through that. Where they've seen one of the child, he comes to the madrasa and he's very violent. You ask him, why are you beating children for? And one day he sat down with the Nazim Sahib and he sat him and he goes, why are you always violent? Why are you always hitting children for? What is the problem? And he didn't say anything. But when he was asked again, he goes, look, Qari Sahib, the problem is that I have problems at home. Why don't you come to my house and solve our problems? My father is hitting my mom every day. She's crying, she's shouting, and all these things is happening in front of me. I can't think, I'm not in my right mind. And we're talking about a 10-year-old child. Is that fair on him? It's not fair. So my dear Islam brothers, because this is happening a lot in our community, and I'm just focusing on the Muslim community. It's happening in all other communities, but I'm just focusing on our Muslim community. We need to understand what the laws and the rules are. Now, for them people, there's a fatawa in Fatawa Qazi Khan. And in that, there are four reasons the scholars, they mention that when Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ and beat them. What is the tafsir? The reason is, number one, that there are four reasons. Number one, that the husband tells her to keep tidy and clean, and she doesn't. Number two, the husband tells her of his desire, and she refuses without any valid reason. Number three, she doesn't clean herself after becoming impure. And number four, the husband tells her to pray namaz, and she is lazy. These are the four reasons. And then, what is beat them? You don't get a stick. You don't get a mop and start beating her up, punches and, you know, kicks and all that. No, astaghfirullah, nothing like that. A miswak and then like this. That's what beating means. But today, by just taking this word of the Quran, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, people have think that, yes, we've got a breakthrough. We can do whatever we want. And these cases are being highlighted, and end of the day, it's Islam that gets a bad name. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we learn these beautiful things in the Madani environment of Dawat Islam. Like I said, my bayan was, majority of the bayan, all the Madani flowers was from the bayan of Nigran Shura, Shohar ko kaisa hona chahiye. Who's heard that bayan? Is it because majority of us are not married? Or is it because we can't understand Urdu? Okay, why is it? Can we not understand Urdu? That's why we can't listen to the bayan. We can't. We understand Urdu. If only one person. Okay. He can listen to this bayan now, inshallah. But then, my dear Islam brothers, majority of us, I know, we are married. Why are we not learning these rules in Islam, which are very, very important? If you are married, it is farz upon you. Not sunnah, not wajib. Farz upon you to learn this knowledge. You know, as a university student, how much time he spends in university. He spends, I just had an Islamic brother on the phone, and he says he's sending his son to Manchester University. And they're just boarding for the whole year, costing £3,000. That's how much we're spending for our children to go and learn about Islam. But how much time are we spending, how much money are we spending to learn about our beautiful religion, about these important things? And these things are very, very important. So inshallah, Azawajal, I hope that inshallah, Azawajal, when we go back home, if it's available on the maktaba, get one. Shohar ko kaisa hona chahiye? It's a must. Kaun sunega, inshallah. Yeah, very, very. Before the next ijtima, all of us should have heard this bayan. Shohar ko kaisa hona chahiye? And then inshallah, give this as a gift to your friend. Home where there's fighting. Imagine to live in that home. How, imagine, just imagine what it will be like living in a house where you go back home and you're always quarreling and arguing with your wife. There's always shouting, children crying. You know, imagine there are homes like that. Imagine if you give this bayan cassette to a Nigran-e-Shura,
to the Islamic brother.
Imagine if things go calm in that house, who will get the reward? All this knowledge, it requires time and it requires qurbani, sacrifice. Without that, we're not going to achieve anything. Look, you've sacrificed to come to the Ijtima. Sacrifice a bit more and travel on the kafile and learn these important things. And inshallah, Azzawajal, like I said, my dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, this is learnt and taught in the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. And alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, Dawat Islami is a huge organization. We've heard about Dawat Islami, we've seen what Madani Channel is about. Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, even as we speak, more than 170 countries throughout the whole world, the message of Dawat Islami has reached. 81 departments and increasing Dawat Islami. And for that, my dear Islam brothers, we need to be a part of that. We need to be part of Dawat Islami. Don't be looking from a far distance. Come close. See what Dawat Islami is about. See what you can do for other people and for yourself as well. And inshallah, no doubt there will be something. Imagine, you know, one man who stood up to challenge the shaitan, and alhamdulillah, how successful he is. If we all unite together, imagine what we can do. Alhamdulillah, in the UK, as we know, the Jamias of Dawat Islami have started. Well, students, you know, your son, alhamdulillah, send them to their Jamia. Make them go and learn about the beautiful deen. Hum qurbani denge. Today, the sacrifice we give for our children, inshallah, we'll reap the benefits tomorrow. So make your children, your relatives, your friends, whoever you know, make them go to that. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward us and may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive our sins. Ameen. Bijah Nabiyyir Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
May you keep ascending success. Say, O Muballik, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay.